We're going to start with prayer, and then I'd like to explain to you what I found out through what Marianne reads to me. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're just asking your help, Lord, as we open your word. Help us to understand what it means to say we're sorry. Help us to know what it means to go to one another and say we're sorry. But even more important, help us to realize how important it is to make things right here on this earth. We're just asking your blessings. Bless the words, bless what's heard. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In pastoring and Bible working and everything else, I had never thought of the thought we're going to share with you today until Marianne read a devotional to me. And it opened my eyes, I will say, to what the gospel's actually telling us in the Bible. So I hope you'll hear what's said. I had never thought of this before. Let me ask you a question before we begin. If you hurt someone's feelings and you kneel down and ask God to please forgive you, will he blot that out of the books in heaven? Now listen to the sermon and find out what we're talking about that I found, for actually the first time. I'm not saying I shouldn't confess my faults to you, but I just want you to see today how important it is that I confess my faults to you.
So this is a devotional that we've been using a long time. It's by F.M. Wilcox, the old Adventist preacher, called Day by Day. And it starts out like this with the scripture, James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it goes on, he says, and he quotes some things from Mrs. White, Ellen White. If there have been difficulties, if envy, malice, bitterness, evil surmisings have existed, confess these sins, not in a general way, but go to your brethren and your sisters personally. Be definite. If you have committed one wrong and they 20, confess that one as though you were the chief offender. Take them by the hand. Let your heart soften under the influence of the Spirit of God and say to them, will you forgive me? I have not felt right towards you, and I want to make right every wrong so that nothing may stand registered against me in the books of heaven. I must have a clean record. Who think you would withstand such a movement as this? We need to confess our sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty freely to forgive you. And then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother or sister that you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his creator and redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great high priest, who was in all points tempted, like as we are, and yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from the stain of iniquity. The scripture bids us confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. To the one asking for prayer, let thoughts like these be presented. We cannot read the heart or know the secrets of your life. These are known only to yourself and to God. If you repent of your sins, it is your duty to make confession of them. And sin, though, of a private character, is to be confessed to Christ, the only mediator between God and man. For if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Every sin is an offense against God and is to be confessed to him through Christ. Every open sin should be made right with the one who has been offended. If any who are seeking health have been guilty of evil speaking, if they have sowed discord in the home, in the neighborhood, or in the church, and they have stirred up nation and dissension, if by any wrongs they have led others into sin, these things need to be confessed before God and before those who have been offended. In 1 John 1:9 it reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So that's the devotional that Marianne read. Now we're going to go through it bit by bit and actually talk about each piece that he's saying in here about the devotional and what he's actually saying that we must do. And I'm just going to share with you, Marianne will again, but there's an order in which we have to do it. Now, just to throw a question out to you. If I stole somebody's money, if I stole money from someone and kneeled down and asked God to erase that out of the books of heaven, can he blot them out right then?
They're out of order.
They're out of order. Can he blot a sin out that hasn't been repented of?
No.
And that's what really caught me as Marianne read this devotional one morning. She reads three different devotionals, and I listen to them. And when it's something like this, I'll stop, she'll done, and I'll say, I want that for a sermon. Now listen as we go through this, bit by bit, that you caught everything that's said in this devotional.
So as we went through the devotional, it tells us that faults are to be personally taken to the offended one and confessed in a definite way, straight and precise about what you have done. It mentions difficulties such as envy, malice, bitterness, evil surmisings, but this should contain all faults, such as stealing, cheating, lying, and many more. And then the statement was made, let your heart soften under the influence of the Spirit of God and say to the person, will you forgive me? I want to make right every wrong that nothing may stand registered in the books of heaven. I must have a clean record.
So it's unique in here. If you were listening as she read the original, it says be specific. That isn't you walking over to someone and say, I'm sorry for what I did, would you forgive me? Now, should the individual that's been offended say, what did you do? Should they have to?
No.
According to this devotional, it's saying that you should go over and ask forgiveness for what you did and then tell them what you did. Isn't this interesting? Did this start in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
Did Adam and Eve hide?
Yes.
Did Jesus come along?
Yes.
And he says, where are you? And they says, we're hiding here in the bushes. Why? Because we're naked. Was that their sin?
No.
What was their sin?
Disobedience.
Disobedience, eating the fruit. And Jesus asked them, did you eat of the fruit? Isn't that interesting? She doesn't say we're hiding because we ate of the fruit. She says we're hiding because we're naked. And Jesus has to ask, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit? So it's very interesting. This devotional says, don't go over and say, I'm sorry for what I did. Go over and tell them you're sorry because you did. And then tell them what you did.
So it then repeats this in order of what comes first and then second. So firstly, If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty freely to forgive you. And then secondly, you are to seek forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God. And in injuring him, you have sinned against his creator and redeemer.
Now, do you know where that's found in the Bible? Whatsoever you have done to the least of these, thy brother, you have done it unto me. Is this biblical?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you've insulted God, taking it out on someone else. And I don't know if we think of sin as that bad. Well, I only said it to Bob. No, you said it to who?
God.
To Jesus, that's right. So you said it to him also. But it's interesting, as we read through, did you get the order?
Mm-hmm.
First, you have to take care of what you did here before you take care of what's written there. So brothers and sisters, if you've ever asked God for forgiveness and haven't made things right, maybe you need to go and make things right. And then once again, ask God for forgiveness. Because I asked you and your answer was no. Can God blot it out without you taking care of it here? No. So let's continue.
Is it really important to confess to others before you confess your sins to God? The answer is yes, but we're going to look in the Bible for the answers. So if you turn with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark 11, verse 25. And that one reads, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." So what a text this is. We forgive others that God may forgive you. There are two things to know in this text. One is to ask forgiveness, and the second is to be forgiving. But let's keep moving to Luke chapter 17, and we want verses 3 and 4. Luke 17, 3 and 4. And these are Jesus' words, if you have a red letter edition. So Luke 17, 3 and 4, and it says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So in this case, someone is convicted by the Holy Spirit to ask forgiveness 7 times. And then the Holy Spirit convicts the offended one to forgive his brother or sister in Christ. This needs to happen before we ask God's forgiveness.
So isn't this interesting? He's really pointing out the fact, not only the one that's been offended, but the offender. It's amazing, it's saying the offender has to ask forgiveness, but it's saying the offended one must be willing to give it. Because will that be registered in the book that he's been asked to forgive what's done? Yes. Does he need to be open and forgive? Yes.
So how can God forgive the sin when the sin still exists between his people? There must be confessions and forgiveness between us before we ask God to clean our record book in heaven.
Isn't that interesting? This is all written in this one little devotional, and yet I seen a whole sermon there on the different varieties, forgiving, forgiven, and it's interesting what this one devotional is saying. We need to be right to make it right with God.
And that's how it read in the devotional. I want to make right every wrong, that nothing may stand registered against me in the books of heaven. I must have a clean record.
So if you go to God first, I've already asked this, can he take the sin out while it still exists?
No.
So it's a very, very interesting thought. I think I believe this, but I never put it in order that one has to be done before the other one can be done.
So how many of us have asked God for forgiveness for doing wrongs to others without asking forgiveness from the person we have hurt? But how do we do this? Well, we make up an excuse, don't we? And here are some of the excuses. You might say, well, they deserved it. You might say, well, it's the only way to get my point across. And we were even thinking of the children. If the kids will come to us and say, well, she or he hit me first. And so, but that changes. As we get to adults, we say, do you know what he or she said about me or did to me? Another excuse, my friends told me to do it. The last excuse, it was my only way. And so the list goes on and on and on.
So do we think of reasons why we haven't asked forgiveness? Yes, we do. Then can it be taken out of the books in heaven?
No.
We're thinking God can erase sins. But the whole point is the sins have to be taken care of here. It doesn't tell us to forgive our neighbor of sin, does it? Does it? No. What does it tell us to ask for forgiveness? Our faults.
Faults.
Is that right?
Yes.
Only God can forgive sins. But you and I need to take care of our faults.
We want to turn in the Bible to John 15:22. John 15:22. And it reads, John 15:22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak or excuse for their sin.
Do you know what this is saying? That if you don't know something's wrong, can it be a sin to you? I grew up in a church that did not preach tithe. So therefore I didn't learn tithe, and therefore I did not tithe. And I wasn't probably 20 years old when I found out about tithe. Do I owe all my back tithe? How would I even know how to pay all my back tithe? And be honest. So I'm just sharing this one text with you. If you know something's wrong, it's wrong. If you don't know something's wrong, then it might not be a sin. And I'm saying might not be because you might not have heard it in the Bible, but you do know what you've been told as you were raised. Is it wrong to steal?
Yes.
But have you not read the Bible where one of the commandments says it? Are you with me? It's still wrong. So I'm just sharing, this one text says that they didn't know, but I came and showed them, and now it is wrong.
There is no excuse for sin, because to excuse sin is to make it right. There is no good reason for sin.
And I want you to learn this as I did. I memorized these two thoughts. To excuse sin is to make it right. Are you with me? She hit me first. Is it wrong for me to hit second? Yes. Should I have turned the other cheek? That's right. So I'm just sharing with you, there is no excuse for sin.
All right, we're going to turn next to James 5:16, which is our scripture text. And it read, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Is this talking about you having a broken leg or an arm?
No.
No, what's being healed? Your heart, the attitude, your character, your your condition between someone else needs to be healed. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
You need that before you ask God to clean the books.
One more text, 1 John 1:9. And it reads, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
But that's part two, isn't it? Now, don't miss this, brothers and sisters. Do you ever see this happening in the Bible? And the answer is, the best one I can find is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the former rain. What happened just before the Holy Spirit was poured out?
They confessed
their faults one to another, and then God could eliminate their attitudes, their sins, and the whole other. And then the Spirit was poured out. As long as there's disunity, can we actually have the Holy Spirit blessing disunity? Were the apostles, and I'm just being nice, always disunited? Yes, they were. Did they all want to be first?
Yes.
Yes. Did they want to sit at the right hand and left hand of Jesus? Yes. They had problems, but in the upper room, and they used the word false, they confessed their faults one to another, and then they were ready to be used by God. It's the same way with you and I. If our life isn't going the way we think it should, and we've knelt down and asked God, "Help me, Lord, nothing's going right," is it up to the Holy Spirit to tell you why? Maybe you've got some people to apologize to so that your life, as it was written in this lesson, it says, "I went and held their hand and said, please forgive me. I need to get my books clean in heaven." Will them forgiving you clean the books? No. Will it take God to clean the books?
Yeah.
Yes, but you need to start with them. Just
yes.
Anywhere.
Right. Okay. In reading, of course, Pastor Dan found The Desire of Ages, chapter 85, and it's called By the Sea Once More. So we want to suggest that you read that because it's about Peter and Jesus, about him.
We're giving you homework, and it was mentioned
in the Sabbath school.
Did Jesus ask him 3 times, "Do you love me?" Why 3 times? Because he denied him 3 times. And Jesus wanted each denial taken care of. It needs to happen, brothers and sisters, and you can find it in the Bible.
Yes, and so before we end, we found another devotional, but this is one you can read along with us. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 14.
So we're asking you to do some homework. Go home and read that chapter out of The Desire of Ages on By the Sea and see just what Jesus is doing for Peter, not against him, but for him. He's trying to make things right so Peter can go and feed the lambs and the sheep. But things need to be right first.
So if you're with me in Luke 14, we're going to read 16 through 24.
Now I finished my sermon, so you're blessed today. Mary Ann read another devotional to me, and I said, I want that at the end of this sermon. Now it's talking about excuses, but it's saying, have me excused.
It's called The Great Supper. So it starts with Luke 14, verse 16. And then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And 24 reads, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And it goes on to explain this. It says, this parable correctly represents the condition of many professing to believe the present truth. The Lord sent them an invitation to come to the supper, which he has prepared for them at great cost to himself. But worldly interests look to them of greater importance than the heavenly treasure. These people were invited to take part in things of eternal value, but their farms, their cattle, their home interest seems of so much greater importance than obedience to the heavenly invitation that they overpowered every divine attraction, and these earthly things are made the excuse for their disobedience to the heavenly command, come, for all things are now ready. These brethren are blindly following the example of those represented in the parable. They look at their worldly possessions, and they say, no, Lord, I cannot follow thee. I pray thee, have me excused. The very blessings which God has given to these men to prove them, to see if they will render unto God the things that are God's, they use as an excuse that they cannot obey the claims of truth. They have grasped their earthly treasure in their arms, and they say, I must take care of these things. I must not neglect this of this life. These things are mine. And so their hearts of these men have become as unimpressible as the beaten highway. They close the door of their hearts to the heavenly messenger who says, come, for all things are now ready. And they open their hearts to invite the entrance of the world's burdens and business cares. And Jesus knocks in vain for admittance.
So what commandments are these people going against? Are they putting land in place of God? Are they putting cattle in place of God? Are they even putting their marriage in place of God? Yes. So the first commandment's out. Are they worshiping the things rather than the Creator? So the second commandment's out. Now it says these are people who are professing to be Christians. Do you know what the word Christian is? It's you using Christ's name. And if you're going to call yourself a Christian and then not act like it, are you using Christ's name in vain? Yes. And do people get in a habit to the point, and by people I mean even Adventists, the point that when something happens in the family, and I'm not talking about death, and I'm not sure I'm talking about weddings, but I'm saying, does it take much to keep them from coming to church and worshiping God? No. So I just want you to see that all these people are naming things, even a wife. They're saying, my wife, was she invited to the supper? Yes. Was she going to go? so I'm going to stay home with her. Can people lead you away from what you believe? Mm-hmm. Yes. So I wanted to end my sermon with this. This isn't just them sinning. This is them by worshiping or honoring things of this world, which creates sinning. And they want to be, brothers and sisters, excused. What is unique in this little devotional? Is God going to excuse them? No. And the devotional says that the man of the house is angry, and these folks will not receive the supper. Where's the supper at? Heaven. Are you and I serious about getting to heaven? Then where should all the things of this world be?
Behind
or at least second. But are all that you and I have given to us by God?
Yes.
And yet we love what he's given us more than the giver. So be serious about your salvation. I started out saying that you need to ask others to forgive you before you ask God. And then as a Christian, you need to know that you are in love with God more than this world. Brothers and sisters, you not only won't be in heaven, you won't exist anymore. What is going to happen to those that miss heaven? Fire is going to come down from God. What's going to happen to the things you worshiped instead of God? It's all gone too. And what Solomon figured out, and in the end of his books, he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity, except, brothers and sisters, and Pastor Dan's adding this, except loving God. May God bless you to be serious about offending someone, stealing something, making it right here so that it will be right there. It's your only way to heaven.
Amen. Our closing hymn is number 281, I Gave My Life for Thee.